this is that people are going to read it and they're going to believe it. People are going to read those headlines saying the food supply chain is broken. And they're going to start howling and saying, what are you going to do? We don't want to starve to death. No one is going to starve to death. What you have here is an opportunistic executive taking advantage of a crisis and taking advantage of people's fears to try and continue running a business that is incompatible with the pandemic. It is shameful. It is utterly shameful. And anybody who's buying into these stories from the meat industry, oh, we're all going to starve to death because you're closing our plants down, needs to stop worrying and start asking why they're closing the plants down. Because if you understand the conditions in the plants, you understand why the disease is spreading so rapidly. The real question should be, how can the meatpacking industry operate during this pandemic? That's what they should be working on. Not letters published in the New York Times, not crying to media, not begging government to leave them alone. Take your coronavirus task force, Tyson Foods, and have them figure out how you can operate and maintain correct social distancing. And if that means you produce less, you produce less. If that means you make less money, you make less money. There are enough Americans sitting at home right now making no money. People have watched their livelihoods disappear. People have seen their small businesses shut down. People who are going to lose everything. And you're trying to get the government to give you a pass so that you can keep operating a business that is infecting hundreds of workers. It is shameful. And I expect more from the leader of an American business. I expect innovation. I expect determination. I expect creative solutions. What I don't expect and what I can't condone is the chairman of Tyson Foods crying to the American public to try and get the American public to put pressure on the government so that they can continue to expose their workers to unnecessary risk, all in the name of profit. This isn't about feeding the country. If it was about feeding the country, you would find a way to do this, and you would find a way to do this that didn't hurt your people. We'll be back with more here on WMFO Medford.
the number one, always fighting. Now I'm fighting for your life. I'm fighting for your life because if you use drugs, you better leave it alone. Drugs are contagious. They're killers. Every drug is a killer. Stay away from drugs. Drugs will take your life away. And if you want to live, stay away from drugs. Because they are super bad, super bad, super bad, super bad, super bad.
America, your children have an amazing superpower. They can help save lives by not having playdates. That's right. By replacing get-togethers with virtual playdates and video chats, they can help slow the evil spread of germs. And if your superheroes do go outside, make sure they continue their superhero wing by staying 6 feet away from others to protect everyone in America land. Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
If you have been following me, it is WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. If you have been following me on YouTube, you know that I spent several weeks talking up what was going to happen to business on the far side of the pandemic. For those of you who don't know, my job is marketing and data analysis. So I have spent much of the last 7 weeks in between work for my clients, because I am still working full-time, I've spent a lot of time looking at what is happening, not just in the United States, but around the world. How are businesses reopening? What kinds of businesses are reopening? What is the future going to look like for business? The answers are not all positive. And I want to give you kind of a high level of what to expect in terms of reopening and in terms of when we might see different kinds of businesses reopen, if ever. And I have to put "if ever" on there because some businesses are not going to survive this. It's a sad reality. Some very well-known brands are probably not going to survive this. There is a pretty simple way to determine whether or not a business is going to succeed or fail in the coming months. There are two things that you want to look at. There are a lot of other factors that come into play, but there are two primary things that you want to look at to understand whether or not that business even can reopen. And then to answer the question of whether or not the business can survive until it reopens. So the first thing that you want to look at, and maybe you want to use this as you think about your investments. I am not offering investment advice here. You shouldn't take investment advice from anybody in the first place. You should go out and do your own research, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Go buy index funds. I didn't even tell you to do that. There's no investment advice being given here. But some people I know are going to look at it through this lens. Okay? I will tell you that I wouldn't touch this market with a 10-foot pole right now. That's me personally. So if you think I'm saying something to shade an investment position or something like that, I'll tell you, other than my 401k, which is all in index funds, I ain't touching it. I ain't going near anything. So what businesses are going to be able to reopen? Or, more importantly, what businesses aren't going to be able to reopen? And it's easier to put that list together, probably. The businesses that will not be able to reopen in the near term, as long as social distancing is in effect, are businesses that draw a large number of people from a great distance to a single indoor location. Let me give you those criteria one more time. Businesses that draw a large number of people, sometimes from a great distance, to a single indoor location. What am I talking about? Well, obviously, I'm talking about nightclubs. Obviously, I'm talking about sports venues, arenas, baseball parks, football stadiums. Obviously, I'm talking about arcades. Obviously, I'm talking about shopping malls that are enclosed. Obviously, I am talking about convention halls, convention centers. Anything that brings a lot of people in from a lot of different places, under one roof, will be among the last to reopen. Bowling alleys may be okay because bowling alleys pull in a local crowd for the most part. And you can maintain some distance in a bowling alley. You can operate every other lane or every third lane or every fourth lane to keep people away from each other. You got a pool hall, you might be able to do the same thing. You know, you can, let's say you got 10 rows of tables. You can have one party in each row of tables and keep them away from each other. As long as everyone's 6 feet apart and respectful, you can operate that business. Water park? Amusement park? No. Because everybody gathers up. Everybody's bunched up in different places everywhere. Shopping malls, food courts, not going to happen. Train stations are bad enough. Supermarkets are bad enough. If you've been to a supermarket, you know. It's tough getting through the supermarket and keeping 6 feet of distance from people. I guarantee you, at least three times when you go to the supermarket, you're going to be closer than 6 feet to somebody. Either because you have no choice or because they're not following the rules. So any business that requires big numbers of people in close quarters is not going to reopen. Disneyland, Disney World, not going to reopen. Not before 2021, more than likely. And they're discussing this internally. Colleges and universities, not going to reopen. Not before January. Not before we have a treatment or a vaccine. Movie theaters, it's a big question. Movie theaters were operating. They were among the last businesses to close. Drive-ins are great. Drive-ins, you can social distance all day long. So drive-ins don't have anything to worry about. Movie theaters, where everybody's sitting in the same room together. You know, we were playing around with the See It, Rent It, Skip It feature on the show before we had our hiatus. And asking the question, would you risk coronavirus to go see this movie? The risk may simply be too great for customers to come back. And that is a factor in this, by the way, in whether businesses survive. And this is sort of factor 1A. Factor number one, can the business reopen? Factor 1A, if the business reopens, will anybody show up? Will people go to a movie theater if they're afraid of getting coronavirus there? I think the answer is no. So that even if those businesses reopen, they're going to face a huge uphill battle to get people to come through the doors. Because people are not going to feel safe sitting in a room with strangers for 2 hours, 2.5 hours. The drive-in, you're in your own car. And you can keep that distance. It's going to be a problem in the summertime because people aren't going to want to have the windows open. But drive-ins have actually been doing okay. Drive-ins have had a resurgence. Car hops have had a resurgence during this. Restaurants that can do carry-out have had a resurgence during this. Now, can restaurants reopen? A lot of questions there. Some restaurants will find a way to do it. Some restaurants won't. So in general, if you can limit the number of people in your establishment and be profitable, and people aren't coming from all over the place to come to your establishment, you're going to be okay. If you are more of an open-air establishment, and I'm thinking particularly about the boardwalk at Salem Willows or the boardwalk at Weir's Beach where there are arcades, those arcades open out to the outdoors. And you could limit the number of people in there. You could space things out so that people aren't on top of each other. And with the air circulation in there and the fact that you're practically outdoors when you're indoors, those could possibly reopen. Dave and Buster's, not going to happen. So any business, particularly those in the entertainment space, where everybody's coming in and jamming together to do whatever they got to do, not going to reopen. Those are the businesses that are going to have to figure out a way to survive for a very long period of time. And this is where factor two comes into play. Factor two is a very simple measurement of the health of any business. And it is how much debt do you carry? How much debt have you got right now? How heavily leveraged is your business? How many failing quarters did you have coming into this? And I'll tell you some companies that I worry about. And these are going to be surprising names for you to hear. I'll give you the obvious ones. JCPenney, probably not going to survive this. The Gap, probably not going to survive this in its current form. The Gap itself may survive. But the Gap subsidiary brands like Banana Republic, they're going to have to go. JCPenney probably can't survive. Sears, Kmart, probably can't survive. We already know that Neiman Marcus has plans to declare bankruptcy. Other retailers are going to do that. Other businesses are going to do that. Saks Fifth Avenue, they may not survive. Lord & Taylor, they may not survive. Macy's. Macy's has been on my watch list for a shutdown, apart from their store in New York City, for some time. Bloomingdale's is closing a location. Forever 21, we know, is in trouble heading into this. Fast fashion is not going to do well when there are no customers and when the stores aren't open. Any mall-based retailer that operates almost exclusively in shopping malls is going to be in trouble because the malls are going to be a challenge to reopen. Outdoor centers, and you think about places like Dedham Place, Patriot Place, Linfield Marketplace, where all the stores open to the outdoors, and there's plenty of room outside for people to spread around and stay away from each other, those centers are going to be able to reopen. And the stores themselves are going to have strict limits on how many people can be in there. Same thing as when you go to the supermarket. Keep a social distance. Maybe you can only have 10 people in the store at a time. But those stores will be able to reopen. The malls is another story entirely. And malls may not be allowed to reopen as quickly. In some parts of the world, they have. In Asia, they are reopening some shopping malls. It varies from country to country. It'll be curious to see what happens here. But as a rule, any retailer that is strictly mall-based, your Spencer Gifts, your Hot Topic, your Yankee Candle Company, if you're dealing primarily, if the majority of your locations are in shopping malls, 90% or more of your stores are in shopping malls. The Apple Store, the Microsoft Store. If the majority of your stores are in shopping malls, you're in trouble. You may not be able to reopen. You may not be able to reopen as quickly as you would like. So now we get to the second question. How much debt have you got? How leveraged are you? And here are some companies that have some things to worry about. And this is a big one. Disney. Disney spent billions of dollars to acquire 20th Century Fox last year. They're one of the most highly leveraged companies in the United States of America right now. They're one of the most highly leveraged companies in the world. And that deal makes sense. That deal works as long as Disney keeps running, as long as they keep making billion-dollar movies and bringing people into their theme parks and getting people to watch their TV shows. All that Disney has right now, all that they have, is Disney Plus and On Demand. Everything else is shut down. You can't buy the toys. You can't go to the movies to see more Disney. You can't go to the theme parks. The theme parks were one of the biggest pieces of revenue for Disney. Disney is very, very unlikely to survive this pandemic in its current form. Some of the healthier retail brands out there are very unlikely to survive this pandemic in its current form, including TJ Maxx companies based here in Massachusetts. Discount clothing retail had been a bright spot amidst the general online pressure for retail, but they're having a tough time because they can't get product. They can't open their stores. They're not mall-based for the most part, so they'll be able to reopen. But the question is whether or not their customers are going to come. The nature of a TJ Maxx, the nature of a Marshalls, is everybody crowds around the clothes and, you know, kind of fights each other to get the bargains. We're not going to see that anymore. So TJ Maxx, Burlington Coat Factory, companies of that nature are going to have a tough time. Comic book publishers are probably done. And this is another industry. I talked earlier tonight about the meatpacking industry and how they have created an industry that is incompatible with coronavirus because there are too few producers producing product in a way that is incompatible, unsustainable with worker health. So the virus comes along and they can't do their job anymore. We've seen the same thing happen in the comic book industry. Every comic book shop in the country was dependent on one single distributor, Diamond Comics. Diamond Comics were the ones that supplied all the DC titles, all the Marvel titles. Diamond Comics shut down. They shut down operations. Nobody knows if they're coming back or not. If they don't, then DC and Marvel have no way to get their product into comic book stores. And without new product in comic book stores are going to go out of business. GameStop, which has been hanging on by a thread, may not survive this. GameStop was on the receiving end of a lot of controversy because they were trying to declare themselves an essential business back in mid-March because Animal Crossing was out. There was another game, there was another big first-person shooter game that was out, and they were making a lot of money, and they were selling a lot of product, but they were also risking the health of their employees because they weren't giving their employees any protective gear. They're basically telling their employees, just crack the door open and shove the product out and take the money from the customer. Not a responsible way to operate the business. They were in deep trouble before this because they're basically operating a business that we don't need anymore. We don't need game stores. We don't necessarily need physical copies of games when every console has an online shop where you can just download the game and have it. You don't get a physical copy. People like me who like physical copies are kind of out of luck with this. But in an age when it's dangerous to leave your house to do anything, do you really want a physical copy? Again, are you willing to risk coronavirus to do this, to get this? I think the answer for most people is no, I am not. Big function halls, big trade show companies, caterers that supply big trade shows, all in jeopardy. Because the trade show for the near future is a thing of the past and may be a thing of the past forever. Because an interesting thing happened within the video game space over the last couple of years. Nintendo, which is doing gangbusters, by the way, I think they're outselling everybody at this point. From the launch of the Nintendo Switch, adopted a new marketing program and adopted a new method of marketing. Instead of going to trade shows and instead of holding these big in-person events, they started doing everything through online video. They cut together 15 minutes, 20 minutes of video, put it out. They got a new one out every month, every few weeks. That's how they promote their products now. And it works. They're selling products like crazy, and they're not dealing with angry fans all over the place. And they're doing it for a fraction of the cost that going to E3 or going to the Consumer Electronics Expo or going to San Diego Comic-Con would have cost them. Other companies are taking notice of this. Sony has certainly taken notice of this. The days of the in-person trade show, the days of the in-person convention may be numbered. That may be a thing of the past. There may never again be a San Diego Comic-Con. And in fact, there probably will not be a San Diego Comic-Con under its current owners. There probably will not be an E3 under its current management ever again. There may never be another New York Comic-Con under its current managers. because those operations tend to run on a fairly tight budget. They are sustainable as long as they can keep doing a show every year. You ask them to take a year off, and suddenly they have no way of paying the bills anymore. Even worse, the convention centers that rely on these gate shows, as they're known, they may have to shut down due to lack of revenue. Who will survive? The little mom and pop business, the small to mid-sized company that has maintained an aggressive hold on their budget, that keeps debt under control. Those are the businesses that are poised to thrive. Because what's going to happen over the next 6 to 12 to 18 months is the big businesses, the names that we all know, that spent too much money, that ran up too much debt, are going to have to start selling off their assets if they want to be a going concern. I guess it's probably too late for Sears and Kmart. That ship has probably sailed for good. But if you're Disney, you can sell off Marvel Comics. Hell, you can sell off all of Marvel. You can sell off Star Wars. You can sell all kinds of things to keep the parks open and to keep the movie business going. And they may have to do that. If you're a company like Lego, privately held, runs a tight balance sheet, you can sustain this. You can withstand this. And if you have very low debt, you're attractive to bankers, you're attractive to investors, you are in a position now to take advantage of those big companies that are in distress that have to sell their assets. This is a situation where a new group of business owners and a new group of businesses rises to the top. It is not necessarily an extinction event for all of the brands that we currently know. But it is going to be a very, very difficult time for a lot of those brands. And some of the big names are going to fall by the wayside. And again, three things that you want to look for. 2.5. Number one, is it a business that requires a lot of people in one place to come together? That business probably isn't going to be able to reopen. 1A, even if that business reopens, are people going to want to come? Are they going to say it's worth the risk to go there? And number two, how much debt do you have? If you can reopen quickly, the amount of debt that you have isn't that big of a deal. If you can't reopen quickly and you have a lot of debt, you're done. If you can't reopen quickly and you don't have a lot of debt, you may survive. So that's what you want to think about. That's what you want to look at when you start asking yourself, do I want to book a Disney vacation? Do I want to make plans to go to that place with a movie theater that I love? Do I want to set next year's trade show schedule on my calendar so I can make sure that I go to all the Comic-Cons? Those things are probably part of our past now. Partly because of the virus, but partly because those were vulnerable businesses to begin with. And if it wasn't this shock that took them out, it either would have been a slow burn into failure, or it would have been some other shock that did it. Sad to see businesses go. I have a tremendous loyalty to certain brands, certain businesses, because they've been a part of my life. I love them. But this is where we're going. Some businesses are not going to make it. And some of those companies that you know, that you think are just sort of untouchable, are going to prove to be very touchable and are going to prove to be very vulnerable in the weeks and months ahead. This is WMFO Medford. For what's hot on favorite thing from the past week, and this week is a no-brainer. You know, usually when we do What's Hot, we talk about, hey, here's some place you can go, here's something you can do. Well, we're stuck at home. So What's Hot is going to have to be about what you can do at home. And what you can do at home is hit up YouTube, because no matter where you are, no matter what kind of devices you own, you have access to YouTube. And I'm going to tell you to go on YouTube and to Google the following. This is Take Me to the World, a Sondheim 90th birthday celebration. This is on YouTube from Broadway.com, and this is the archive of a live stream that took forever to come together on Sunday night, but finally happened. Broadway stars, old and young, people that you know, people like Mandy Patinkin, people like Lin-Manuel Miranda, people like Bernadette Peters, all celebrating Stephen Sondheim. It is Sondheim's 90th birthday. Everybody who's worked with him, everybody who's admired him, everybody who loves his work came together to host a fundraiser for artists striving to end poverty and to do a one-night cabaret-style performance of Stephen Sondheim's work. These are incredibly talented people singing some of the most beautiful Broadway songs ever written. It is on YouTube. It is actually number 5 trending as I record this, but will probably go down. It's been viewed almost 900,000 times since it was streamed on April 26th. It is called Take Me to the World, Stephen Sondheim, Take Me to the World, a Sondheim 90th birthday celebration. Look that up on YouTube. Trust me, it will be 2 hours incredibly well spent. If you love Sondheim, I don't have to sell you. If you don't know who Sondheim is, he wrote a lot of songs that you've heard before, and they are some of the most beautiful and moving songs ever written. And a little culture will do you a lot of good right now. As we do every week, but that's a thing that happened. The strangest story of the past week, or in this case, the past few weeks. This one goes back to early April, but too good not to share. Iowa. We all need to do what we can to keep safe. That apparently was the attitude of Sean Salomon, 53, and old enough to have concerns, but maybe not old enough to handle them. Ms. Salomon really didn't want to get COVID-19, but she really wanted to do meth. So after taking some meth, she walked into the Sioux City Police Department and asked them to test the rest of her meth for COVID-19. Police conducted a search of her truck and found more than 14 grams and drug paraphernalia, leading to Salomon's arrest for 2 felony narcotics charges. Not sure if the FDA has established this as a fact, but it seems unlikely that coronavirus spreads through meth. And that is all the time that we have for this week. Until next time, we should be back next Wednesday night, same time, 7 o'clock, here on WMFO Medford. So until then, if you need to go out, wear a mask, but try not to. Stay home and stay safe, everybody.
I'm as restless as a willow in a windstorm. I'm as jumping as a puppet on a string. I'd say that I have spring fever, but I know it isn't spring. I'm as starry-eyed and vaguely discontented, like a nightingale without a song to sing. Should I have spring fever when I know it isn't spring? I keep wishing I was somewhere else, walking down the street. busy as a spider spinning daydreams. I'm as giddy as a baby on a swing. I haven't seen a crocus or a rosebud or a robin on the wing. But I feel so gay in a melancholy way that it might as well be spring. Oh, that it might as well.
Single man under the age of 35, you'd probably like to know what the ladies are looking for on an online dating site. A guy who had a few drinks and later got pulled over for buzz driving. See, that could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. And doesn't a guy who's back living with his parents but calls them my roommates just scream, Mr. Right?
Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. Man, does it feel good to be able to say that again. I am Derek Gary. It is The Big Picture. This is a pre-recorded version of The Big Picture, so I'm not giving out the phone number tonight. You can't call in. We'll figure that out down the road. For now, it is just amazing to be back on the air at the regular time talking to everybody. Hi, how have you been? It's been an interesting 7 weeks, 8 weeks, and it's been 7 weeks now since the last time that Chase Blaine and I were together at WMFO. when I left, I was planning to take that next week off because my wife and I are having a baby, and now we have a baby. He is 7 weeks old. He is amazing. He is doing well. If you like colic, you will love this baby. But at the same time that we were having the baby, the whole world turned upside down. So what would have just been a one-week absence for the big picture,
reason why I preach against it. I believe that it is a contributing factor to our juvenile delinquency.
DJ Easy Ed's Variety Hour. 120 minutes of rockabilly, hillbilly, old country, 50s R&B, and vintage rock and roll.
I know what it does to you.
Friday evenings from 6 to 8 p.m., alternating with Steve Harnish and the Bingo Show. Only here on WMFO in Medford.
If you talk to the average teenager of today and you ask them what it is about rock and roll music that they like, the first thing they'll say is the beat, the beat, the beat.
Want some now? Just search the web for DJ Easy Ed's Variety Hour to find the website, Blogspot, Facebook and MySpace pages, and Apple iTunes podcasts. Tufts Freeform Radio, 91.5 on your FM dial, and WMFO.org on the web.
It even vibrates like real.
Same battles that I fight. ask you how do you feel about it, and you tell me that you feel alright. I ask you how you really feel about it, and you tell me that you'll be just fine. Come on and tell me about it. I know we're living separate lives. Tell me about it. I think it'll be alright. But darling, please don't ignore me. I know everything is not alright. And I can look the other way if it will help you get to sleep at night. But I think I can live without it. The fever dreams and restless nights, still clinging to the sentiments and fragments, wishing you were. Listening.